ATS, this is Zaza Fraz interviewing J. Krog 08, direct from his mother's basement in Tennessee, United States. So hello, J. Krog.
Hey, what's going on? Sorry if there's any interference. I got some tinfoil around the basement, you know, keep the grays out and everything.
Okay. Which is what we're going to talk about today. I'm a little bit of a, not so much a skeptic, more as a, more of a, you know, give me proof kind of girl. And I don't know enough about ufology. So J. Krog has kindly offered to give me ufology 101. And we're going to go into different things like the state of ufology, the different kinds of creatures involved with UFOs, the different types of crafts, the cover-ups, the intrigues, all those exciting things. So today, why don't we start, JK, if you don't mind me calling you JK.
No.
Cool. Let's start on the current state of ufology. And, you know, because coming in, I've only been an ATS member for the last 12 months, or not even 12 months. I'm a newbie. I'm a freshman or a fresh chick. And it's kind of boggling. Whilst I'm not aware of all the different cases, I've read up a lot on you know, what's put out there. But the one thing that has stood out to me is the glaring differences between hardcore believers, researchers, and loonies. And then, you know, just fringe dwellers like myself who are interested but, you know, don't feel they have necessarily the guts behind each case to contribute that much. So what's your take on the current state of ufology?
Well, you know, I think that you summed it up pretty well. You have the lunatic fringe. You have the hardcore
which
skeptics.
I'm part of.
Yeah, well, you know, that can be good. I guess maybe I should have specified that better. You have the lurkers. That's you, mm-hmm. apparently. Mm-hmm. You have the pseudo-believers, the people that will believe any object in the sky is a gray mothership. And then you have the hardcore skeptics that, regardless of what proof you give them, it is something mundane. It has to be swamp gas or CGI.
Yeah.
And in between that, you have the researchers, which is really the best place to be.
And you'd call yourself a researcher?
Yes, I would. You know, I constantly find people that seem to think that either I'm a debunker or I'm a hardcore believer. And really, it just depends on the case, and that's it. It just depends on the case. Mm-hmm. I go by the facts, and all you can do in ufology at this moment is go by probability based on the available evidence. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no proof either way. You have certain cases that...
But would you say the facts are glaringly missing? The facts aren't necessarily facts all the time. I do often hear this was said or this was claimed, but that's not necessarily a fact. That's just a claim. I think the facts, unfortunately, are quite minimal in this whole area.
Well, that's only true with some cases. You have, especially during the Blue Book era in the United States, you have cases from the late 1940s to the mid to late 1960s, that were researched actively by the United States Air Force, Project Blue Book. And there was extensive research done by scientific officials within the government. You have films analyzed, you have physics applied to cases, you have multiple cases with trace evidence, and, you know, in that case, I think that we can call those facts, and a lot of those cases, the facts point to there's no way that this incident could be attributed to anything that we currently, even today in the year 2009, almost 2010, know of. You know, and it starts getting kind of gray. After
the pun.
Yeah, exactly. And
we've got what you've touched on there, which is, you know, you've got facts here and there, but the current state of ufology is also tainted with charlatans. I personally believe they're charlatans.
Of course.
You know, you've got your Billy Myers, you've got your Galactic Federation of Loonies. which may cause some enemies for me. But this is doing no favours to ufology and for it to be taken seriously. It is a growing... it's certainly, I mean, even in the last 10 to 20 years, the interest in ufology, perhaps with the internet, has exploded. A lot of people have a interest or know something about a case or whatever, but then it is tainted with the continuous charlatans who are the ones actually making the money at the end of the day. They're the ones making the big bucks. And the ones who want to do research, they're not being funded. They're not, you know, it's people like yourself who have nothing other than your own interest and your own time, because it's not a great story. It's not a, you know...
Yeah, it's not...
A shiny Palladian suit with ray gun.
Yeah, you know, it's not a Palladian light ship or whatever they want to call them these days.
Theme ship. Did I just correct the FSME on ATS?
Yeah, you might
have. I think
have.
I did. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, but anyways, yeah, you're right. I think it's human nature to take advantage of anything that's popular, and that's really bad because, as far as on a massive global scale, the study of UFOs or ufology is really not that popular, but there is a group that is being taken advantage of. The group is ever growing, but it's still small on a global scale, and that group is constantly being bombarded by two sides. You have the one side that is claiming every other month, it seems, like we're going to see 9 motherships over Peru, 3 days ago? Yeah, that didn't happen. And then you have the other side that it seems like any time you get anything UFO-related on CNN or whatever, you have these skeptics out there that will just go through any lengths to debunk anything without
any... But I think they have their place as well. You know, if it wasn't for the skeptics, you would have the crazier fringe type.
I just think that's an inherent issue in this. Is I don't think that either one is needed. I think what's needed is someone that's equally balanced. I mean, you can't just say that. Well, it's okay that we have someone that believes everything and someone that is skeptical of everything. I mean, you need someone that is both. That cancels each other out, that just looks at the evidence and based on that evidence makes the best assumptions possible, and that's all you can really do. I mean, when you have people that, like I've seen on ATS, on threads, people that when someone posts irrefutable evidence that something is a hoax, well, guess what, you're a disinformation agent, blah, blah, blah. I've seen people try and attribute mirages of Jupiter to a case that obviously is not the case. I mean, it's just like they're trying to force something in there, to just anything that they can think of. And if anyone knows what I'm talking about, of course I'm talking about the famous JAL case, the Alaskan Airlines case in 1986. But in the current state, it's not good. It's really not good right now. There's just too many...
So what would it require to make it better? What sort of things would be required? Funding?
Yes, but to get that funding, it's going to require that there's a unified approach taken. I mean, the UFO field needs to come together and form a scientific research organization, like MUFON and SUFON, so many others have tried to do, MUFON being probably the most well-known. But to do that, you're just going to have to get some type of public support, and that's just, you know, that's just a major issue right now. It's something that you need public support to get, but to get that public support, you need some type of breakthrough case, and to this date, there hasn't been one, but I would say a start would probably be to stop arguing amongst ourselves over whose beliefs are right and start focusing on the facts, and maybe, you know, we can get something done. And if
all pure research is valid. We don't, you know, just because you don't necessarily know something's there doesn't mean it shouldn't be researched. That's not a very scientific approach. I would agree with you in that case. I saw today in the paper that, so that's the scientific side, but I do actually think, whilst you're saying it's a small percentage of people who are actually researching, I think that the interest in UFOs is extraordinary worldwide. Everybody pretty much has a story or a comment on this or that, or has seen, you know, an example XYZ. Just this morning I was reading in the paper that my fellow countrywoman, Olivia Newton-John, is incredibly interested in UFOs. And she had a sighting when she was a young girl, and she went on to describe that ever since she, you know, has had this fascination for it. So it comes from all walks of life, and it's just a shame. I suppose I'm leading to the... It's a shame that though the large population of people who are interested in it are actually exposed more to the nutter stories rather than, you know, the pure... There is no home goal story, as you were saying. There's no winning story that's come out. So
no, and you know, I think a lot of this. Sorry to interrupt. I think a lot of this has to do with the time frame here, because if we had this type of interest worldwide in UFOs, as you pointed out, and you're correct, within the 50s through 60s, you know, we might have something here. We might have a government-funded research project. But right now, you have so many cases that have turned out to be CGI hoaxes, YouTube videos popping up everywhere, you know, and that's the stuff that gets out. The stuff that gets out is the GFL, you know, Alex Coyler, however the hell you say that name. I don't care, because he's full of crap, in my opinion. But the point is... It's just, right now, I think ufology has dug itself in a hole so deep that it doesn't matter at this point who believes in it. It's always going to be that thing, you know, that it's going to be taboo until, in my opinion, until we have a landing, you know, on the White House lawn or something similar to that, or a case. If we have a new Roswell that happens tonight, we might have a chance to get this mainstream, but, you know... We'll see what happens. I mean, I really don't have an answer. The state ufology is not good. It's not unified. Even within MUFON and other organizations, you have back and forth, people who believe, people who don't. You know, it's not scientific at this point. There's attempts to make it scientific, but people, like as you said about 10 minutes ago, are not interested in that. And
yeah,
it's not good.
Well, let's use the super case as a segue into top cases. There's about 150 cases that you mentioned earlier to me, or I saw somewhere on ATS, of what you think are the top cases. Do you want to talk a bit about, you mentioned Roswell before, any of the other top cases that really spring to mind that you think, whilst they're not, you know, proof that extraterrestrials have visited us, or that there's a craft here, or that there's been abduction,
well,
whatever the case,
you know,
is.
I feel like I need to say something, because you stated proof that extraterrestrials have visited us. Now, there is an issue with that, in my opinion, and that is we do not know if they're aliens from another planet, they're time travelers, or beings from another dimension, or beings from our own planet that we haven't discovered yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one reason lately I've been pushing a new nomenclature, and that is UE, as in unidentified entity, because
mm-hmm.
I feel that is much better representative of all the cases. So I just had to say that. Now, with that said...
Well, let's skip... And get back to Roswell in a sec. Let's go straight to the Hills abduction. That is supposedly extraterrestrial. So I don't think you could do a blanket, you know, we don't know where they're from. There's a case there where we're being told, yes,
well, yes,
taken by
yes.
XYZ. So let's go into your understanding of Hills and why you think it's such a fantastic example, or such a strong example of extraterrestrial, I will say, interaction with humans.
Well, the Hill abduction case... no one knows. September 19th, 1961, New Hampshire, around 12 to 1 in the morning, Betty and Barney Hill were driving back from a vacation near Indian Head, and saw a bright object moving in the sky.
The eventually vacation, was there any alcohol consumed? Was there any, you know,
no, there were
special blended cigarettes?
No,
nothing like that?
No, not on the drive, no.
Okay.
And anyways, they noticed a bright object that they thought was a star, but it happened to be following them parallel to their car. And eventually they came down a road and noticed that a bright light was blocking the way. And later, through hypnotic regression, it was found out that they stopped the car, and multiple beings fitting into the classic description of gray aliens came to the car and led them both to a spacecraft. And in the spacecraft, apparently tests were performed, pretty much like a physical. There were some sexual tests as well, or whatever they were doing. And apparently Betty Hill was also shown a star map of the star system that the aliens reportedly came from. And that is the...
Don't tell me the Dagobah system, because if you start throwing geek at me, Star Wars...
No, actually, we're gonna have to edit this out, because I was pausing because I kept hearing a bunch of static.
But that's all right. There's no static here. Keep going.
Okay. Well, I wasn't really.
So we were at the Dagobah system.
Yeah, we're at the Dagobah system. But no, really, we're talking about the Zeta Reticuli system, which is a known system now, 39 and a half light years from Earth.
Mm-hmm. And how far is it from Dagobah?
Oh well, that's undefined.
Far, far away.
Yeah, far, far away.
Mine's a religion now. Keep going.
Well, we're not reaching now, because you have the fact that Betty Hill claimed that she was shown this star system. She drew a map of the same star system and trade routes she was shown about.
Trade route?
Yes, there were supposedly routes of trade in between different stars within the area of the Zeta Reticuli system. And
what kind of trade?
I have no idea.
But he specified that to her?
I can't even begin to speculate upon that. You know that.
Hmm. So why would they not start trading with Earth then? That's interesting.
Well, do you want me to answer?
Do you
want me to discuss the trade routes?
If I'm being told there are trade routes, I immediately think, well, what's wrong with Earth? Why don't we trade with Earth?
Well, if you want me to go there... I would probably guess it'd probably be because Earth is relatively primitive. If you do believe that there's extraterrestrial races out there with technology to travel from star to star, obviously we don't have that technology, at least publicly.
I would
say that would be a pretty major reason. I mean,
well,
how do you think everyone would feel if a mile-wide spaceship showed up tomorrow? Yeah, we're looking to trade some Element 115. Anyone got anything?
Why, so we can pimp their ride.
Do what?
So we can pimp their ride.
Yeah.
But, bit of a subwoofer. So, okay, so with the Hill abduction, so she's, I know that she has a map and that hadn't been discovered yet, that star system. So when they got back, is it because they lost time? Why is it we've gone into a hypnosis and we're seeing greys?
Because the last thing they remember was seeing the light in the middle of the road, and after that, they were just driving. There was no more light, but they had noticed about 2 hours was missing.
Okay.
So, yes.
So they decided to go into hypnosis. All right.
Well, this was after Betty started having nightmares. Betty and Barney, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So... it was a fear. If they're having nightmares, it was a fearful experience for them.
Was it a what?
A fearful experience for them.
Well, based on the reports, I would say it was somewhat of a neutral experience, because the way that they came off was, yes, it was frightening, but at the same time.
Because why would you have nightmares about something that's neutral?
Well, probably because it is so unknown. I mean, how would you personally feel if you started having dreams or nightmares of being taken against your will into a ship and experimented upon, but at the same time being shown a star map of civilizations and, like, just being treated like an animal, like a lab animal, you know, like...
Because they're apparently emotionless, is that right? The greys are emotionless.
Well, according to a lot of reports, yes.
Okay. And then Betty also had a dress with a substance on it that's not been verified. Is that right?
Wow, you've done your research.
I read sometimes.
Yeah, that is right. It hasn't been verified. There's nothing conclusive on it at this time.
So why do we believe there's a substance? What? Because we've been told there's a substance?
Well, she actually commented on the substance. She said that the beans, whenever they touched her, they left this substance from whatever medical experiments they were doing. So.
But we don't have the substance and we don't have the dress.
Yeah, we have the dress and we have the substance.
We do. Okay, that's interesting. And what is the, there's been tests done on this substance?
The very latest analysis that I have seen is inconclusive.
Okay, so we're not talking Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky, conclusive evidence or address. We're talking there's a mark on a dress that we know absolutely nothing about. Or, I mean, what is it? When you say conclusive, what do you mean? Like, no. You don't know what kind of substance it is? There's a chemical we don't know? An element we don't know? What do you mean?
Well, what we're pretty much talking about, it could be one thing and it could be another. There's just not enough.
What could that one thing be? Like, are we talking something that is on Earth or not on Earth?
Well, one thing is mundane, the other is not. We're talking one thing being something as simple as makeup,
mm-hmm.
and talking something else being unknown.
Okay.
And, like, as I said, the mass spectrometry test was inconclusive.
Okay. So, how many times has it been tested? Because it's just, this happened how many years ago? 50 years ago?
And in 19... This, yes.
Yeah, so in this time, we're still saying it's inconclusive. With all our technology, we're saying it's inconclusive.
Yeah, well, I mean, all our technology, I mean, I still don't know. Even if you are given an element that is totally non-known to science, I really don't know what a test would do. I mean, all you would know is that it contains no known matches to anything we know. So, I mean, and even then...
Well, look, I don't know. If I did tests on half of my makeup, I think that the same kind of inconclusive result might come up also. You know, I don't know what's in half of that. So anyway, either way, I personally just don't take... The only thing that interests me from this particular case is that she... And that is, if this is 100% correct, is that she was able to list a star system.
That is the main aspect.
Yeah, the dress, that doesn't... It's not evidence as far as I'm concerned. If they can't tell me that they've done all those tests over 50 years and they can't come up with something, and sometimes they say it's just makeup, well, it goes on the shelf of... Of course.
Yeah. But, you know,
is she still alive?
No, she's dead.
Okay.
They're both dead now, actually.
Okay. All right. So let's go on to another abduction. Let's start on abductions once more. The Walton abduction, November 5th, 1975. What have we got there? Teach me about that and tell me what have we got there that's. Is there any evidences, or is it just...
Well, there's about 3 polygraph tests given. Mm-hmm. The first one, apparently Walton failed, according to the polygraph examiner.
Mm-hmm.
Second one he passed, and the third one was inconclusive. Other than that, that's the only evidence, besides the fact that he really was missing for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's a brief summary of the event. If you want more details, on November
5th... Were people looking for him when he was missing?
Yes, there was a massive search.
So there was a big search, yeah. Okay.
In fact, his co-workers were murder suspects at the time.
Uh-huh.
But he, when he suddenly reappeared 5 days later, you know, obviously things changed.
Yeah. And then, so they're up for murder. He waltzes back into town. Other than, you know, were they drinking? Were they on a bender before this happened? Were they working? What's when he was abducted? What was actually? Take me back to what was going on.
Well, him and 4 other co-workers were loggers. They were clearing some woods for the government. They were forestry workers and. towards the end of their shift, a large almond-shaped UFO was seen. And Travis Walton, curious, got under it to look at it and was apparently struck by a blue beam of light that apparently knocked him unconscious. His co-workers, being scared, not knowing what was going on, left the scene.
So there was no drinking involved?
There is no drinking that I'm aware of that was involved at the time.
Okay. And it was what time of night?
Excuse me?
What time of night was it?
It was in the evening.
It was in the evening. And were they actually on shift or were they after shift?
They were just finishing up, actually.
So they were just finishing up. So likely that they weren't actually drinking.
Yeah, they were not drinking, no.
Okay, cool. And so they all said that the same thing. That were they polygraph test when he was
Everyone involved was polygraphed.
But was that before he returned or after he returned? Did they submit to the polygraph test?
Polygraph tests were conducted before and after.
Okay. And did they fail it as well or just he did the first time?
The only polygraph test that was failed, what I've read, is Walton's polygraph test, which was actually given three times by three separate individuals. The first one, the guy who was examining them claimed that it was the most clear case of a fail that he'd ever seen.
That says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does say a lot, and it does raise some serious questions.
It does. It does. I mean, I'd love to believe it, particularly because the other guys all passed it. But that's a big. To say that he seriously failed it, the worst thing. That's not just saying he failed it. That's a resounding. But that person may have had an agenda against him as well. We don't know. So what happened was he was taken on board a craft. Now, was he aware of what happened, or was he undergoing hypnosis as well? How did it work for him? Was it different to the Hills case, or was he in complete remembrance of the events over 5 days?
Travis Walton's story was that he was taken whenever he awoke. He was inside of a spacecraft. He was taken to a metal-like table, similar to an examination room, where, again, gray-like beings attempted to examine him. He states that he managed to scare them off or fight them off or whatever and get off the table and just go down the hallway or the corridor of the ship and found himself in a room. In the room, there was a chair that he sat in. He described it similar to a recliner, but with buttons, and apparently it controlled some type of holographic simulation that apparently showed stars and whatever.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the part of this story that grabs me the most, which is why you would be on a UFO craft, and would you go sit in a chair and start pressing buttons once you've escaped?
But you see,
it doesn't really sit with me. That's all.
Well, I think that's a fair comment, but I think it's also unfair to judge exactly how one would react.
I agree. I don't necessarily know. I'm just saying everyone does react differently. I'm just saying that is a very odd reaction to me, is to sit down and try to work out how to. You don't know what that's for. I would personally find a cupboard and hide in it, or, you know, I think human nature would be to run and try hide somewhere, or find I don't know, but to sit in a chair and look at the holographic images, it just.
You have to consider that the chair had the buttons on it and joystick-like controls. Maybe he thought that was the cockpit.
Was this pre or post Star Wars? 75 pre. Okay.
This was pre-Star Wars.
Yeah, so I'll give him that. Because I'm just thinking where he would have got that analogy from to see a joystick. And I think a joystick is a very 70s, 80s, 90s human experience.
I mean, I agree, but I mean, how many different ways are you going to have to control something? I mean, even if you're 1,000 years more advanced.
With your mind is what I would assume. But anyway.
Yeah, you can assume that. I mean, that may be true for some, but.
Yeah. I'm seeing, when I read the description of that, I'm seeing a description of Lost in Space, of popular culture, buttons, joysticks, you know.
So you think it's a hoax?
I'm not here to say whether it's a hoax or not. To be honest, I actually don't really care. I just am the sort of person that immediately
well,
asks questions. I just immediately ask questions. And perhaps my historical, being a historian, my background, I like to look at facts and how humans lived within a certain society at a certain time. And immediately with this case, I tend to think, what was his visual understanding of outer space? What did he see? And who knows, I could be completely wrong. Maybe Greys do use joysticks with big buttons and a chair to create holographic images. But that to me is a very human explanation or visual from that era that he comes from. Very much so. Even us nowadays, we would have the ability to possibly do mind control stuff. I don't know, but there's not, it just doesn't, that's the one part that really, you know, maybe he was taken. Maybe he did throw that in as a I tried to get away explanation and it didn't really happen. I don't know. There is the possibility he did get taken. The psychology behind him could also be that he felt the need to show he tried to fight.
He felt a need to inflate his story.
Possibly. That is also possible, which could be fine. That one part of the story just really, maybe it's just me. I accept that.
Well, you know, that's a fair judgment, and I feel that that is possibly behind quite a few cases, is that they actually did happen, but the person who was the victim inflated their own stories to,
yes,
you know, for whatever reasons.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you were, say, for example, if it was probing in nature, you were, because they say that you're pinned to a table and you can't move, but you're not necessarily pinned with any you know, metal or anything. There's nothing holding you necessarily down. You just can't move. It's almost rape-like. And I think the psychology behind that is that nobody necessarily wants to put that out and say, that's what happened to me and I was powerless. It's not a very nice, well, not nice. It's for a guy who's they're lumberjacks, forestry workers. You know, I can't imagine that would be the kind of story that he would necessarily want to put out there, that he didn't try to fight the bad guy that he managed to get away before being probed. There may have been abduction. I don't know if there are or there aren't. If there was, I don't, you know, that just from reading other things that have happened with abductions, they don't get away. They can't move. So that part of his story just seems a little odd to me. But we can move on from that. We don't need to, you know, stick onto the semantics of that. But anyway, so he's there for 5 days. He's gone. Is it 5 days on the ship, or is he 5 days in human time? What are we talking? For 5 days he's been missing. Somebody comes up, does he go back to the aliens? What happens after the chair?
Well, I mean, 5 days, 5 days Earth time. Anyways, to continue the story, when he was in a chair, he turned around to find a human-like looking being, as many people would say it looked a lot like what people call Pleiadians, and was taken to a hangar-like area where he claims he saw many different types of spacecraft, and claims that a gas mask or something similar was put over his face, and the next thing he remembers is waking up at the phone booth where he called his family to come pick him up. Back on
Earth. Did he have recollection of this on waking up, or did he have to go into a regression, hypnotic regression?
On the abduction experience?
Yeah. Was it something that he said, I've been missing because this is what happened, or did he say, I can't remember what happened, and they hypnotized him and regressed him? What was his...
After a regression, and they also The hypnotic regression was all about the fact that the hypnotic regression has its...
Sorry, JK, your tin foil is actually interfering with us a little bit. Can you just maybe stay with the mic because it's cutting in and out?
I heard that. We good?
We're good.
Okay. The Walton abduction, as with any case, is it's just really. As you said, there's no absolute evidence for anything, and all you have to go by is what little evidence there is, and most of that's circumstantial anyway, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's one reason that, I like research in UFOs, but I kind of hate it at the same time, because there's never anything concrete.
No. And... Not only, I mean, I certainly prefer concrete evidence, but I also like to think, does that story work? You know, how does it fit into this day and age and or the day and age they're living in? And that one's just, I don't know. I like that there were polygraph tests passed. I don't like there wasn't one passed, and I don't like the, the gas mask, just the terminology. I don't... You know, we can inject somebody with a knockout thing the size of a pinprick nowadays, the size of a bug that you don't even know. Just the whole way he describes his experience, it is to me describing a Logan's Run, anything from the popular TV series of the future or earlier, from that day, you're lost in space. It's not, there's not anything there that really stands out to me to say that's an exceptional case, but I could be 100% wrong, and that's cool, that's fine.
Well, there's many more abduction cases that are tops as well. I wanted to discuss those two because they're more well known throughout the public now. While the Hill abduction is still, in my opinion, the best and cannot be debunked, the Walton abduction has steadily been slipping through the years as a possible hoax, but I still believe that it is worthy of discussion until
Right. Absolutely. It's the discussion is what either brings it to light for what it is. So absolutely it's worthy of discussion.